Thank you so much for that warm introduction, brother. Thank you for having me again. It's so good to see you. India is a huge country. I think we are the most populated country in the world. We have surpassed China recently. As I was talking to the brother, the harvest is truly plenty, and the laborers are very few. So it's a very needy place. Let's pray before we listen to the word, please. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can worship you. We thank you that we can come to you in and through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, please, as we meditate upon your word, give us the eyes to see the beauty of Christ, and give us the ears to hear, and give us the hearts to follow you, and give us the will to obey your word by the power of your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I would like to continue my where I began. So would you please turn with me to the book of 1 John again. And this morning, let's read from chapter 1, from verse 5 to verse 10. 1 John chapter 1, from verse 5 to verse 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. A few years ago, I watched a testimony of a man who is originally from South Korea, and his testimony is still there on the YouTube. It's called From Atheist to Christian at Yale. This man, whose name is Paul Lim, came to the U.S. as a child with his family as they fled the country because of some political reasons. And he narrates his experience growing up as a teenager in America. He felt like he was an odd one out at school. But most unfortunately, he felt like he was left out in church, the church that he was part of. So growing up, because of all the experiences that he had, he never wanted to become a Christian. But when he was at the University of Yale, because his mother insisted that he should go to a youth camp, to please his mother, he goes to the youth camp. And miraculously, the Lord saves him there, and then he becomes a Christian. And then after one summer break, he was supposed to go back to the university. So part of his struggle was, how am I going to share my testimony to my friends, with my non-believing friends at the university? So with a lot of difficulty, suddenly he tells his friends that, hey, by the way, I've become a Christian. And there was this shocking look on everyone's face. And then one of his friends tells him, hey, by the way, don't do this religion thing in extreme ways. and keep everything in moderation. And then he says, what do you mean keeping everything in moderation? You don't keep anything in moderation, especially after Friday evening. And you tell me keep everything in moderation? It doesn't work that way. We are indeed people of extremes, aren't we? Oftentimes, we go back and forth between two extremes. On one hand, we might be tempted to say that God is loving and kind, and he cleanses our sins in the blood of Jesus, and therefore, we can live in any way we like. On the other hand, another extreme thing is we might be tempted to say, I'm such a holy person, I do not have to struggle with sin, you know, I have achieved perfection. In Christian life, there are two heresies, two false teachings. One is called antinomianism, meaning there is no law, there are no commandments that a Christian should follow. There is no need to submit to the Lord. You can live your life the way you like. That's antinomianism. On the other hand, there is another false teaching which is called perfectionism. It is the belief that because God has cleansed my sins, I do not need to worry about our sins anymore. I am perfect. But John, in this chapter, in this text, shows us that both these extreme ideas are wrong. On one hand, we need to walk in the light as God is light. On the other hand, we are not perfect, but we must continue to cleanse ourselves from our sins and continue to walk in the light. And by walking in the light, we will have joyful lives. And on the previous Sunday, we heard about what it means to have a complete joy. And let us continue to explore this subject and of what it means to live a joyful Christian life. One pastor says, holiness is the key to have a joyful Christian life. Happiness and holiness, they go hand in hand. So let me read verse 5. This is the message, but we have heard from him and proclaimed to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So John writes this message that they heard from him. The incarnate Christ is revealing about the attributes of God, attributes of the Father. He says that God is light. As I tried to endeavor to explain to you last Sunday, I want to remind you again that if Christ did not come into the world, we would not know anything about the Father deeply. Christ was sent by the Father not only to invite people into fellowship with the Father, but also Christ has come to reveal about the Father. But John says this message. John says that this is the message. This is the message. This is the authentic message. So what makes this message authentic? John says in the previous passage from verse 1 to verse 4, he says, we are the authentic messengers, and therefore our message is authentic. You remember he says, we were the ones who have heard. We were the ones who have seen. We were the ones who have looked upon. We were the ones who have touched. And we are his disciples. We are the authentic messengers who got the message from the Messiah. So pay attention to what we declare to you and proclaim to you. And what's the message? And the message is, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. What was the context behind why John was writing this the way he does? At that time, as I told you last week, there was false teaching called Gnostic teachings were spreading. The Gnostics would say that anything that is physical is bad and impure, and anything that is non-material is pure. For them, the physical body is impure, and the spirit or soul is pure. And because they think the body is impure, and therefore they cannot imagine that Christ could come in human flesh. And they also believe that you can also do whatever you want to do with your body, because body doesn't matter, material is bad anyway, so you can do whatever you want to do, you can live the way you like, and you can continue to do all kinds of immoral things because the body is bad anyway. So in order to counter that, John is writing that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If you say that I have fellowship with the Father and continue to walk in darkness, you are a liar. Here we are to understand when John says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. What does it mean? For John, light is something pure and holy, and darkness is a symbol of sin. God is light, meaning God is holy, and God is pure. God is fundamentally holy, meaning God is absolutely holy and pure, and there is no other way to describe God. There is no blemish in him at all. One author says, God is morally pure, and there is no error in his truth. Not only he is ontologically pure, but also whatever that he says is pure and truth, and there is no blemish in his revelation at all. And God is both the sum and the substance of goodness, righteousness, faithfulness, and justice. He is altogether holy, and there is not even a tiny bit of imperfection in him. There is no error in the truth that is revealed through his Son. We worship a holy God. One day, when we see God face to face, along with the angels and along with the saints from all over the world, we will be praising God, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That is the God of the Bible, and that is the God that we worship. God is holy. God is light. And fellowship with God transforms our lives. There are three things that I would like to share briefly this morning. Number one, there is such a thing called fake or fictitious fellowship. And there is genuine fellowship. And thirdly, unrepentant, sinful lifestyle corrupts the fellowship. What is this fake fellowship or fictitious fellowship that John is talking about? Let me read verse 6 and verse 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What does John mean here? He means if anyone claims that he has fellowship with the Father, it is impossible for that person to live a life without being changed. If you look at this verse, John uses two words in particular, walk and practice. What do these two words indicate? These two words indicate that something which is ongoing. We walk all the time, right? Walking is not something we do rarely or occasionally. So here John is talking about someone who lives in a sinful lifestyle, who practices sin, whose life is characterized and marked by ongoing and unrepentant sin. So John is not saying, if you say that you have fellowship with the Father, you will never sin. And you will be absolutely perfect. Because in verse 8, if you go down, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. So he's not talking about Christians falling into sin. But he's talking about someone who says, I have fellowship with God, but live a life of total indifference to God, with utter disregard for holiness. That man is a suspect. John says he is a liar who does not practice the truth. One preacher gives this illustration. He says, if you were to be rolled over by a semi-trailer and somehow you have survived, remember this is an illustration, and someone comes to you and asks you, hey, how are you? Are you okay? And if he were to say, well, I'm okay, as if nothing has happened to him, if he says, I'm okay, I don't feel anything, well, you are surprised, because what does it tell? What does it mean? He's lying. It is impossible to be rolled over by a semi-trailer and yet remain unaffected, right? Fellowship with God is something like that. Being confronted by God is a massive thing in your life. And yet, if someone says that I just have fellowship with the Lord, but it doesn't change my life, it is a contradictory thing. If you look into the Bible, in the Bible, when people are confronted by God, they are always changed. There is transformation in their lives. When God spoke to Abraham, his life was changed. He trusted in God and he went to the place without knowing where he was going. Where after God met with Moses while tending the sheep on the mountain, his life was changed and transformed, and he never wanted to go back to Egypt, and then because the Lord has spoken to him, he changes his mind and he goes to Egypt. When Moses fellowshiped with God on the mountain, his countenance was changed. And everybody noticed that. When God spoke to the boy Samuel, his life was transformed. When Hannah prayed to God in the temple, her countenance was changed. And she was no longer bitter. When Jesus met his disciples, they would leave everything and follow him. When 3,000 people heard the message of the gospel, they repented of their sins and trusted in Christ. And their lives were radically transformed. The proud Pharisee by the name of Saul was utterly transformed by the grace of God. The Samaritan woman who met Jesus, after meeting Jesus, her life was totally changed. So John is saying, if someone says, I have fellowship with the Father, and then his life is not changed, it is severely disturbing, something wrong going on. And John says, it's a lie, and you're a liar. The one who says that I have fellowship with the Father and continue to live in sin, he lives in a different planet. He thinks that he is in fellowship with God, but in reality, is he in fellowship with God? No, he is not. One must understand that having fellowship with God is a privilege, because God is holy and we are unholy. And there is this unbridgeable gap between God and sinners. And John says in chapter 2, verse 2, Jesus Christ has become the propitiation for our sins, meaning that Jesus became our substitute. He absorbed God's just anger on the cross and died in the place of the sinner who repents of his sin and trusts in Christ. And it is by believing in this message that one is reconciled to God. And this is how Fellowship with God was made possible. Otherwise, it is impossible to have fellowship with a holy God who is there in heaven. Now, having understood the love of God and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, here is the question: how can anyone remain untouched and unaffected by the power of the gospel message? How can anyone be so hard-hearted and continue to live as if the sacrifice of Jesus Christ doesn't matter at all? As if the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is nothing? One of the lies that Satan spread is that he made people believe that if you kind of made any profession of faith in the past, you are fine. You know, regardless of how you live, you are fine. You don't need to live, he says that you don't lead Satan, one of the lies is Satan says, you don't need to live according to the faith. But what is John is saying here? He's saying that if you say that I am born again, if anyone says that I'm born again and yet lives like a worldly person, and John would say, if you continue to read 1 John, I would encourage you to read 1 John. Even after going home, John would say that if you're truly born again, you would truly live in the light because God is light. A truly born again person, I'm not talking about that person is a perfect person. He's not perfect, but he has this genuine desire to have fellowship with the Lord and walk in truth. And he hates worldliness. And he cannot live like a worldly person. What is worldliness? Someone said like this: worldliness is whatever makes sin normal and righteousness look strange. What is worldliness? Worldliness is whatever makes sin normal and righteousness looks strange. If someone is consistently living in sinful lifestyle, yet puts their trust in the past spiritual experiences and not living in the light currently, John would tell them that you don't understand what fellowship with the Father actually means, because you are not, in fact, in fellowship with the Father. You are, in fact, outside of the fellowship with the Father. If you are in the fellowship with the Father, you will live according to the light of the Father. Friends, if anyone is not walking in the light as God is the light, John uses strong words here. What does he say? He says, you are a liar. So let us examine ourselves in the light of the scriptures. And secondly, that's a fake fellowship, fictitious fellowship. Now let's look at what does genuine fellowship look like. Let me read verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin, from all sin. John is saying walking in the light does not mean perfection, because if he does, there is no need for the blood of Jesus to cleanse our sins. If we are perfect, why would we need for the Lord Jesus to cleanse our sins? The reality is that though we are born again, though we have fellowship with the Father, we still struggle with sin. It's a fact. Paul talks about this constant battle between the flesh and the spirit in the book of Romans chapter 7. And also he talks about it in the book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 17, whatever is there is an ongoing battle going on between the spirit and the flesh. So when believers fall into sin, what does John tell them? What does he say to them? He says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. In verse 9, John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous and just to forgive us from all our unrighteousness. John is describing about the attributes of God. Here are the three attributes, three characteristics of God. John says that God is light. In other words, God is holy. And also God is faithful. And God is also just. And when we fall into sin, and John says, confess, if you confess your sin, God is righteous and holy and faithful, and he will cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. So what's the key? What's the key here? The key is confession. The key is repentance. Because we walk in the light, in fellowship with the Father, even though we walk in the light, when we fall into sin sometimes, what should we do? We should immediately confess our sins to the Lord. Confession means acknowledging with God all our wrongdoings before him. David says in Psalm 51 that against you, you only have I sinned, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. David is acknowledging before the Lord that he is sinful and he has broken the commandments of God and the trust of God, and he has hurt God. So he is genuinely saying that if you were to judge me, if you were to send me to hell, you have every right to do that because I have blown it. And I am a sinner. Please have mercy on me. That's what confession means. Confession means not making any lame excuses for our sins. Confession means taking full responsibility for the sin that we have committed and the natural consequences that come along with it. And then pleading with the Lord to show mercy. And the beautiful truth is this, friends, when anyone confesses their sins and repents of his sin before the Lord, God promises, he promises to never turn a deaf ear or a blind eye. Because in our confession and repentance, we are pleading, we are appealing to the blood of Jesus Christ. The reason why God will always cleanse us from our sins is because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we are confessing, we are appealing to the blood of Jesus Christ because of the sacrifice of his beloved son. Based on the sacrifice of his beloved son, the Lord is making a promise, and he's saying that he is faithful. In other words, he will always be faithful to the promise that he has made, and therefore, when we confess, the Lord will always cleanse us from our unrighteousness. There is no doubt about it. And we should never doubt in the promise of God. And John is saying, because God is faithful and just, he will cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. When we confess our sin, there is no sin that God cannot forgive. There is no sin that he cannot cleanse, be it a big sin or small. When we confess our sins, he has promised that he will cleanse us from. Did he say a tiny bit of unrighteousness? No, what did he say? He said, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God forgave Peter. What was his sin? He denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just once, not just twice, thrice. He denied. He said, I don't know who he is. Is there any horrible sin than that? And then God would forgive him because he has repented of his sin. He has confessed his sin. He wept bitterly before the Lord and confessed his sin, repented of his sin, and the Lord forgave him. You know what, friends? God would have forgiven Judas as well if he had repented of his sin. When we mess up, when we blew it, what do? We have two options here. We can either run away from the Lord and act as if nothing has happened and continue to live in sin, or we can go to the Father and confess our sin. What does Peter say? Peter says, "Where else can we go, Jesus? You have the words of everlasting life." What does the psalmist say? The psalmist says, whom do I have in heaven apart from you? When we sin, the temptation is that, let me turn away from God and do whatever I want to do. But John, the word of God encourages you, no matter what you have done, go back to the Father. Go back to the Father and confess your sin. And oftentimes the temptation is, well, I have broken God's law. I have sinned 10,000 times this time. How can I ever go to the Lord and confess my sin? The Lord will be tired of my confession. Right? That's an honest confession. That's what happens in our minds, you know. How can we go with all our shame and guilt? This is 100th time I have broken the commandment. Would God really forgive me? But that's a lie from Satan. We must remember, you know, when Peter asked the Lord, "Lord, how many times should I forgive?" 7 times. And the Lord tells him, 77 times. In other words, Peter, I don't keep record, and you don't do it either. In other words, God has promised us, if you go to the Lord and confess your sin, he is always faithful to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Doesn't that give you true, genuine happiness, friend? As I said earlier on, genuine, true, and complete happiness comes by walking with the Lord in the light. And thirdly, unrepentant lifestyle will corrupt the fellowship. In verse 7, John says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness." Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump." The one who lives a sinful lifestyle damages the church fellowship in ways we could never imagine. The one who harbors bitterness, anger, greed, lust, and deceit will hurt other believers and eventually will bring reproach to the name of Jesus Christ. So what's the remedy? The remedy is again confession and repentance. We confess our sins to the Lord, and the Lord will cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. When God cleanses our sins, here is what happens. Our consciences are cleansed. And we will have the gift of a clean conscience. Isn't that wonderful, friends? Who can give a clean conscience in this world? There is nothing. There is nobody. There is no mechanism. There is no ritual that can cleanse your conscience, but the blood of Jesus Christ alone. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, you can walk out of this building having a clean and a pure conscience, a pure heart, a gift from the Lord. We will continue to confess and repent until we die. One theologian said, you know, when we are converted, we will begin to repent, and we will continue to repent until we die. Repentance is an ongoing thing, friends. And also, we will grow in repentance and confession. As time passes by, as we go to the Lord and confess our sins and repent of our sins, as we are cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ day by day, you know what happens? We are changed and transformed according to the image of Jesus Christ, slowly, day by day, but surely. As you have lived your Christian life for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, you're not the same person when you first believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are 50 years old, or 60 years old, or 70 years old. There's been radical change. There is a radical growth. There is a radical transformation because we believe in God and we continue to confess our sin to the Lord and also to one another. Mainly, John is talking about confessing our sins before the Lord. And then one day, when we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, we don't have to confess our sins anymore because we will have glorified bodies and we will have no sin at all. There is no struggle. All the struggle with sin will be put an end when we see the Lord Jesus Christ with glorified bodies. So I have four concluding thoughts in the end. Number one, do not swing one extreme or to the other. Do not live in unrepentant lifestyle, but confess and repent of your sin and continue to walk in the light as God is the light. And at the same time, please do not think that you have arrived either. We are not perfect. We need to continue to confess and continue to repent in order to grow in the Lord. And secondly, remember, the Lord Jesus Christ will never, ever turn anyone away if that person goes to him. He will never turn anyone away. That's the promise that he has made in his word. And the devil tells, don't go to the Lord Jesus. But the word of God tells, no matter what you have done, please go to the Lord, and the Lord will not turn him away. Remember, God is faithful and just. If we confess, he has promised us that he will cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Not a tiny bit of it, but all our unrighteousness. And thirdly, remember, confession of sin before the Lord and to one another is crucial to have a healthy and strong, joyful fellowship, a joyful church. And lastly, fourthly, if anyone has not confessed their sins to the Lord yet, meaning if you have not repented of your sin, if you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, yet, I want to tell you this, friend. Remember, the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed on the cross. Look at the dying Savior on the cross. Please pray to him right now. Lord, please let me have eyes to see the dying Savior for dying on the cross. Please pray, Lord, please give me ears to hear. Please give me heart to behold. Please give me the gift of repentance. Please, Lord, if you pray that prayer sincerely, the Lord will change you. the Lord will make you his own. Confess and repent of your sins. He's faithful. He's saying that he is faithful. There isn't anybody in this world like God. God is faithful. God is holy. There is no deception in him. He is not a liar. If he says one word, he keeps that word. He is faithful right from the beginning to the end. And he's just to forgive. No matter what you have done, no matter what you have done, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess your sin, he will forgive you and he will make you his own. So please take this free offer of the gospel and accept it humbly and come to the Lord and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. May the Lord bless you. Let's all pray together. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thy word is truth, Lord. There is nothing like your word. Father, your word is like a two-edged sword. Your word is precious than honey and sweeter than honey and precious than gold and silver, Lord. May we examine our lives in the light of your scriptures. Father, please encourage the brokenhearted and discouraged. And please convict those who are hard-hearted. And please, O Lord, apply this word to all for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.